Ayubowan, you're most welcome to the Mahadev. So today we thought of continuing a former discussion that we have been going into the depths of this discussion. It will be based on how to realize the true nature of the Rupa Upadana Kanda. For this discussion, we have invited a resource person who is, of course, no stranger to us. He is Professor Ravi Koggarage, the former Deputy Vice Chancellor Academic of Sir John Kothalawala Defence University. He is actually an engineer, but now I would like to call him a meditator and a meditation teacher with overseas experience. Sir, we warmly welcome you to the Mahadev. And as I promised our viewers, we are about to see the more practical aspect, observe Rupa in a practical angle or the practical side of it. So I invite you to initiate this discussion.
Yes, Sivandi, this is a very important topic because according to Buddha's teachings, we have to realize what dukkha is. And he has explained dukkha as the, when summarizing, Sankittena Panchupadana Kanda Dukkha.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Panchupadana Kanda itself is dukkha. Now, first one of Panchupadana Kanda is Rupa Upadana Kanda. So, that's why we have to investigate and see the true nature or the reality of Rupa. So, as going on this samsaric journey, we don't see the true nature of Rupa.
Mm-hmm.
So how to understand that we do not know true nature is we do not consider Rupa as dukkha.
Yeah.
Even we get attached to Rupa, we normally do not realize this is dukkha itself.
Mm-hmm.
So
just to interrupt you, sir, now when you say that we don't realize it is dukkha, I think at least after hearing the doctrine of Lord Buddha, or at least by listening to this discussion, sometimes we do know that it is dukkha, but yet we are attached to it.
That's right.
Why is that,
exactly,
sir?
So,
yes.
So we many Buddhists, of course, they know the Panchupadana Kanda is dukkha. But that is only a knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It is also known as sutamaya jnana.
Mm-hmm.
So knowledge we got from outside.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe listening to Dhamma or the reading. Tripitaka, mm-hmm, or Buddha's sermons. So we are familiar with this term. Sankittena Panchupadana Kanda dukkha. But it is not true realization. So this jnana or the wisdom,
mm-hmm,
there are three basic levels. Sutame jnana, chintame jnana, then bhavaname jnana.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sutame jnana, we get some kind of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So we know
from external sources.
Right? Even when you teach, you can teach, okay, this person has invented this thing and so on.
Mm-hmm.
It's a kind of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
It's not your own knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Even any kind of theories, we can explain. But realization is when you realize something, you don't have to tell this is because someone else is telling or found. This is,
mm-hmm,
the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Buddhism also something like that. When you are realizing, of course we have to follow Buddha's teachings,
mm-hmm,
with Shraddha. But when you realize,
mm,
if we talk about arahants and so on, they have realized the truth. So Buddha himself explained this. Whether Buddha is appear or not, this is the truth in the world.
Yes.
Or noble truths.
Yeah, because I think that is very important, because sometimes people tend to accuse Buddha that as if he produced, as if he invented the dukkha, but it is something there that exists in the world, and the Buddhas merely show it.
That's right. So Buddha just explain what's the reality is.
Yeah.
So even whether Buddha is there or not, the reality is reality. Truth is truth. So they are four noble truths.
Yeah.
So we are talking about first noble truth, dukkha. So there are five categories: rupa, vedana, sanya, sankhara, vijnana. So we are trying to, you know, identify the first one, or realize the first one. Now the rupa. So when we talk about rupa, we know about lot of many different rupas, right? So there are 11 categories of rupa, according to Buddha's teachings. Those are like near rupa, far rupa, and so on. Ajjata rupa, bahidda rupa, right? So space-wise, we can separate them. Those who are close to me or far, belongs to me or far, belongs to me means my body and all other rupas. So two extremes. So, if we take any of those two extremes, it's covering whole lot of rupa in this world or whole universe. So, it's applicable to any sort of rupa you know. Now, the important thing is, we know about rupa, but do we know this rupa is the main cause for our dukkha or the suffering? Right, so this is where you know, we lack of understanding the reality as it is. So Buddha explained or teach rupa upadana khandara is dukkha, but when we practically do that, or you know, cling to a rupa, we do not realize that is dukkha. Right? So this is the gap between our, you know, realization and reality, as explained by the Buddha.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. So just a bit of an interruption, sir. For those who are watching our program for the first time, I would like to remind rupa is forms.
Yes.
Forms. And
forms or
dukkha,
matter.
I would say suffering.
Suffering.
Yeah. Yes. Just simple explanation.
That's right.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yeah. Rupa also can be considered as physical matter. Whatever. Right? Including our own body and others' bodies, and whether it is live or
not live.
Yes.
Any object
like chairs,
that we can see.
Desk and so on, anything. They considered as rupa. So,
but is it only the forms that we can see by the eye or through the eye, rupa?
Well, rupa you can recognize in different ways.
Yeah.
By seeing, using your eyes. Even hearing sounds, we get to know about rupa. Right? Outside rupa. Then all our senses helping us to recognize rupa.
Yeah.
Maybe through smell, taste, touch.
Yeah, exactly.
You get to know about rupa.
Yeah,
so
there's
another way of explaining what rupa is. Our five senses and also the sensory objects of each of them. They all together considered as rupa. Right? Rupa world. Now, then another explanation is those who know Dhamma, they know about Rupa consists of four elements. Satara Maha Dhatu. Four elements, that is Patavi, Apo, Tejo, Vayu. Right? Patavi is the solid nature, solidity. Then Apo means like liquid nature, liquidity. Then Tejo is the heat. Right? How hot or cool it is, right? Then Vayu is the like wind like thing, right? So those are the four elements. So when we talk about Rupa, it is possible to, you know, talk about those four
elements.
Right? So that is another explanation. Now we know about Rupa in worldly level.
Yeah.
So why we need to use Buddha's teachings to understand or realize the true nature of Rupa? So when I say that, you have to realize what we know is not the true nature or the reality of Rupa. We know about, all of us know about Rupa, but is it the true nature? If you realize true nature, another point, whether you know the realities, whether you see it as dukkha. Right? So, there are certain rupas giving us happiness, like these flowers. Right? When we see flowers, O Buddha statue, we are normally get happy feeling, right?
Yeah, some pleasant feeling. It's
pleasant feeling, right? But there are certain rupas giving us unpleasant feeling.
For example, if we see somebody we do not like.
Yeah, maybe an accident.
Yes.
Or something like that, you know, dead body or something like that. We don't like that, right? Yeah. So, in worldly level, certain rupas can give us happiness. Certain rupas can give us the opposite, unpleasant feelings, right? Happy feeling or unpleasant feelings, right?
Yes.
And also, same rupa sometimes can give us happiness, sometimes unhappiness. That also can happen, okay? Sometimes you can imagine, even your own body. Right, when it is beautiful, we are very happy. But due to some sickness or something, if you have, you know, if you think you are not beautiful, it will give you kind of, you know, unhappy,
sad feeling. You'll be very worried about it.
Yes, right?
Yes.
So this is the relative nature of Rupa in worldly level. Sometimes it can give you happiness, sometimes it can give you the sadness.
Yeah.
But this is worldly level. These are known as, you know, atalo dhamma, sapa dukkha. Right? So, worldly level, we all have to experience this. But when we talk about the lokottara level, supramundane level, it is not a relative thing, you know, time to time it can give happiness or sadness. Rupa has only one thing, and that is what Buddha explained. Sankhittena panchupadana khanda dukkha. If you cling to Rupa, that is the dukkha. There's no sukha involved in that.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all. So this is what when you see true nature of Rupa, what you realize. So now, there's a gap. Our level of wisdom and Arahant's level of wisdom. So, there's another place, it says like, what is true for us, or the Putujjana level, falls for Arahant's level. one sutta, it's explained like that. And Prithukjana, what is wrong is, you know, it's a truth or correct for the arahants. So there's a huge gap between the wisdom levels. Now, what we know about rupa in worldly level is not the truth in arahants or the supramundane level or the lokottara level. So how to develop our mind from this worldly level to that higher level? That's what we need to, you know, discuss or get from Dhamma or the Buddha's teachings, right? That's why we have to, you know, discuss, investigate Dhamma. So, what we believe now, how do you get to know about rupa, as you mentioned, whenever one of our faculties working, like I see something, right? For example, these flowers, we can see them. Then only we get to know it is existing there.
Yeah.
Right? So, when you get to know about that, from Dhamma we can realize, or the our Sutame Jnana, the knowledge, we can see whether Rupa Upadana Skandari is there, Vedana Upadana Skandari is there. When you know flowers are existing. So we have accepted that Rupa.
Yes.
We strongly believe those flowers are existing. So simply this is Rupa Upadana Skandari. And it has a kind of, you know, Vedana, whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, like that. For example, flowers normally give us pleasant feeling, right? So that is Vedana Upadana Kanda. Then there is a Sanya factor also. We can separate these flowers from other Rupas. That is due to Rupa Sanya. Okay? Sanya. Then we have so many ideas about that. Right?
Yeah.
So that is Chetana. So those are Sankara. Sankara Upadana Kanda. And how do we get to know about all those things? Using our Vijnana, the consciousness. Right? So all five Upadana Kandas arise. Right? So all five Upadana Kandas, that is Rupa Upadana Kanda, Vedana Upadana Kanda, Sanya Upadana Kanda, Sankara Upadana Kanda, and Vijnana Upadana Kanda are there. But what we normally do not realize is Dukkha is there. So when we accept flowers are there, we get kind of sukha feeling, happy feeling, right? But according to Dhamma, that is Pancha Upadana Kanda. So Buddha has mentioned Sankhittena Pancha Upadana Kanda Dukkha. So normal mind, normal level of wisdom, we don't see that, realize that. So we have knowledge. According to Dhamma, this has to be Dukkha. But we can't feel it. So this is the gap between Prithakjana level and the developed mind.
Yeah.
So that's where we need to do something to develop our wisdom, to see the true nature of rupa. Right? So we have talked about the Kayanupassana, one of our last programs also.
Yes.
So I want to come back to
that.
Yeah, because Kayanupassana or the Satara Satipatthana is the only path for realization. For the Nibbana, that's how Buddha explained this Satara Satipatthana, for foundations of mindfulness. So the first Satipatthana is Kayanupassana. Kayanupassana Satipatthana. Kayanupassana is to realize the true nature of rupa. So we have to use techniques explained in Kayanupassana to realize the true nature. why we need to realize true nature, because we don't know the
true nature. Yeah,
right. So kayanupassana, it's mainly explained using our body, right, like our breathing or 32 parts of our body and so on. So why we break our body into 32 parts? Just to get rid of whole body or the sarira sanya, body sanya. So if you see this collection, this body has a collection of 32 different parts, right? If you practice it again and again.
You mean you analyze it mentally?
Yes, so kayanupassana, you have separately to practice it again and again.
Mm-hmm.
Even I think it as a body, it's a collection of head hair, body hair, nails, teeth, and so on.
Yeah, it is not just one whole thing, it is nothing but a collection.
Collection of these parts.
Okay.
Right? 32 different parts. Mm-hmm. So if you contemplate on that again and again, whenever you see a body,
of any body.
Any body.
Yeah.
You do not recognize it as a body, but collection of parts.
Now, for example, so, you may, I think you may not recognize it as your child, your husband, but a
that's
collection.
Right. Yeah.
Differently. Ultimately, it's a collection of 32 parts.
So yes.
You can even divide it into even smaller cells or whatever.
That's right. So, whatever labels we put to that physical structure, if I say.
Or that collection, we put one label.
Yes.
It's like we put it in a bag and we label it.
Yes. It all depends on how we weave it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the labels you put to one body may be differ from the labels I'm putting. Right? So, for example, same person can be my father, grandfather, your husband, or a child, so on, right?
Yeah.
So it is different from person to person. Same physical structure, same physical body, right? So those are labels we are putting using our mind. Mm-hmm. It is not the true nature as it is. So to see true nature, one way of one technique is to, you know, break this into different parts. Mm-hmm. So that's why this 32 parts of the body, one of the meditation techniques explained in Mahasatipatthana Sutta,
mm-hmm,
under Kayanupassana category.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay.
So the purpose of doing that is, if you have any kind of attachment to a physical body,
mm-hmm,
attachment or aversion, right? If you're angry with that or attached.
Sure.
When you practice this meditation, you can get rid of
that feeling.
Or, suppress feeling.
That's right? True. And I think even now, probably at a death of a loved one, if you have practiced that.
Yes.
Yes, I think you can suppress that feeling once again, as I said.
Yeah. If you practice this, you can very easily realize, even your loved one, it's only a, you know, human body, collection of these parts, and that's the true nature. They are separating into, you know, different parts. Right? So, why do you have to suffer because of that? That's the truth, true nature. Right? But it's very hard for a person,
yeah,
not having practiced this meditation.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have to practice it again and again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it will help you to reduce your strong attachment and aversion.
And I think it will help you to stay happy.
Yes.
Yes. Though people sometimes accuse the doctrine, saying that it always, you know, points at the suffering.
Yeah.
But actually it makes you feel happy.
Yeah, happy in the sense you don't have to be, you know, unnecessarily
worrying about things. Yes. So that itself is happiness, some sort of happiness.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a relief.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because some might see it differently. Mm-hmm. If you are happy when someone died, it's, you know.
That is very much there. I think when you sometimes when you go to funeral houses and later people, you know, evaluate how each and everyone behaved at the funeral and sometimes complain, this man died and nobody cried.
Yes.
You know, and
that
sort of thing.
So it's better to put in like, you are not worrying unnecessarily. Right? Rather than happy. So we put it that way. So Buddha's way is to, you know, get rid of dukkha. So we are not worrying. Right? So it's an unnecessary worry because we are not seeing the true nature.
Mm.
If you realize the true nature, you don't have to worry. Because this is the truth. It is happening to me. My own
It'll
body.
It happen sooner or later.
Yes. So why do you have to cry because of, you know, true nature? If it is, you know, something unexpected, never happened, then it's okay to cry. But this, this happening to, you know, everyone, including me. So why do I have to suffer? Right? So this is the important thing when you see the true nature little by little. So this meditation helps you to reduce your unnecessary worries. Right? Attachments and aversion, lobha and dvesha.
Mm-hmm.
But still there's another factor called moha, the avijja. Due to avijja, not knowing the reality as it is, you get deluded. So that part, to realize that part, you have to practice this kaya upasana further in the lokottara level. Now, the how I explained is in the worldly level.
Yeah.
There's a body, it consists of these other parts, right? So whenever you see a body, if we are practicing the, you know, very thoroughly, you'll realize it is just a collection of body parts. But still, this is one deep point. Now, still you get rid of body perception, sharira sanya, still you have other things, other parts.
Okay, and that is?
The other parts are there and knower. Who is knowing about that?
Okay.
The personal belief here is there.
Can you repeat it, sir? So
now,
that, yeah.
When we see external body,
yes,
we quickly, you know, due to our practice, we can see it is not
we analyze
a body.
It.
We
yes.
analyze
it. Okay.
It's a collection of head, hair, body hair, nails, teeth, and, you know,
all right.
these
okay.
parts.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But who is doing this? Who
the analyzer, the knower is there.
Knower.
Okay.
Right. I know it is not a body. So personal belief is still there.
Yeah.
So you have to realize still moha is there.
Mm.
We can reduce our attachment.
Developed
up
to some extent, but the moha is yet remaining.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to do some more things to get rid of moha. So
still,
that's why this is known as, in our practice, we call this Purva Pratipada. This is not the Arya Pratipada yet.
Yeah, if we explain, try to explain it in English.
Pura Pratipada means still in the worldly level we are analyzing.
Okay.
Still we are in the world.
Some pre-practice sort
pre-practice,
of.
Preparation
yeah.
For
the
true wisdom or
yeah.
the supramundane
level.
Right? So, to prepare that, you have to suppress certain factors. They are known as pancha nivarana.
Just only suppressing.
Suppressing.
Not total eradication. Just
no.
Suppression.
No. Why?
Yeah.
Why? Because if we manage to practice this meditation, whenever we see a body, we can reduce or suppress those.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens if you forget to practice this? You know, if you forget to keep your mindfulness on your meditation, because you are not always practicing meditation, right? This way, this sati, the mindfulness is very important. Only you are practicing meditation, you can see body as parts. But other times, your all other, you know, kaleshas, the defilements can come up.
For example, if
we used to get angry with someone,
yeah,
right, if we practice meditation, of course, whenever we see that body, we can quickly think it's a collection of parts, so we do not get angry as usual.
Okay.
But if you forget to do that, your anger will come up.
Yeah. So what do you suggest? I mean, like, now when we are meditating, or probably when we close our eyes and meditate, or maybe sit and meditate, we do it, but all other times we don't do it, or we forget to do it. So what do you suggest, to that we should be meditating while we live our daily lives, or we should be
Well, of course, if you can, that's the better, but we know normally we can't do that, right? But
probably we can develop if we can develop. Yeah.
So that's why you need to practice meditation separately.
Okay, as the initial step.
Initial step. Then when you get used to that, every time you can try to do that. So you have to remind it again and again. That's where this mindfulness is very important. So Buddha has advised us to keep our mindfulness all the time. From the starting from when you wake up until go to bed, right? So you have to be mindful. That is satipatthana. So you have to train it. But training also, what I'm trying to tell is there are two methods. One is worldly level. Then another one is to see the lokottara level, the supramundane level.
Okay.
So difference between worldly level and supramundane level is, now worldly level I have explained, when you are practicing, you can, you know, suppress. For that time you can suppress, but later on it is coming. But if you are practicing really supramundane level, you are trying to, you know, cut off all kind of defilements. They will never arise again. So that's the difference.
Okay.
So the Arya Pratipada. But to go into Arya Pratipada, you have to practice this worldly one or the Purva Pratipada first. So whenever you see body, you can try to practice, break them into 32 parts. Right? It's a good practice.
So but, what sort of a body is the most easiest to, whether it's your enemy or a loved one? What do you suggest? It depends on the character of the person or what?
Well,
if someone thinks that we should start practicing it in the first place.
Well, you know.
Or your own body.
Yes, you have to do it for all when complete. But to, as you ask, starting point, sometimes those who are very attached, it's a bit difficult for us to do that. For example, your mother or someone, you know, very difficult to do that. So starting point, this just my idea based on experience. So starting point would be someone neutral to you. Right? Then it's easy to break. Right? But some people, they notice, you know, those who are angry with you, it's much easier to do that. But
it might develop some other aversion.
That's
yes,
true. But this is only the starting point. It's something like, if you take the opposite bhavana, the metta bhavana, right? Loving kindness.
Yeah.
We start with ourselves. Why? It's because easy to do it for ourselves. Then you are loving ones. At the end only we think about our enemies, those who are angry with you. Because before you do that, you have to develop your mind first, little by little. When you are full of loving thoughts, then you are in a position to think about angry persons. Right? This is also similar to that. You have to start from...
Okay.
If you start from opposite side, it's easy.
It is not a must, it's just that it's easy.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not a must.
Yeah.
Right? Different persons have different abilities based on their samsaric habits and, you know, how much they have developed. But the important thing is you have to continue this for your loving ones as well, including your own body. So your own body is the most attached thing. So normally when we practice meditation, we take our own body and break this into parts, right? So you have to come to up, develop your mind up to that level.
Sure.
So when you are doing that, you know, you don't see a difference between any body, like whether you are attached or dislike. Body is body.
Yeah.
Right? So we are trying to see the true nature of it. So it's collection of these 32 parts. Whether it's another person's or angry person or loving one body or my own body. It's a common, you know, qualities or characteristics of our own body. So we are trying to see the true nature. But don't forget, still we accept body is there and the composition of that we are analyzing. Right? That's why I mentioned this is a worldly level of doing meditation. This is not supramundane level or the lokottara level. Now, you can even use physical body or even a photo or the image. Right? Statue or the photo. Why? Inside our mind, still when we see a photo, still we get
the original person.
Yeah, image of the original person.
But do we actually need a visual aid, sir? Do we need a visual aid or can't we just imagine someone?
Well, it depends on level of wisdom. Of course, you can close your eyes and imagine someone or your own body. So normally our 32 parts meditation, we close our mind and think about our own body. So it's a kind of imagination, right? We see our body visually and then separate it to parts. Okay. So if you can do it to yourself, you can do it for others as well, because it's doing by our mind. That's why I mentioned you don't need the actual physical body in front of you to practice this, right? So that's why the in Kayanupassana, the Navasivatika instructions, we use you know, dead body, how it is decaying
in nine stages according
nine
to
stages.
My memory.
That's right. That's why Navasivatika.
Nine
stages. So this one, of course, it's easier if you can see them physically, but mentally also you can practice by just imagine what kind of situation, and you have to reflect back into your own body. My body also subjected to these kind of changes, right? I have not escaped from this. So it's a kind of realization. But still I am stressing that this is worldly level of seeing it. Why worldly level? Still we believe there's a body. Body is there, nowhere is here. Two extremes.
Sure.
Right? So still I am. Right? I am the person getting this knowledge. I am practicing this meditation about external body or my own body. Why? Body is existing. So still, so this helps you to, you know, suppress or get rid of whole body sanya or the perception. Whenever you see
the
a body.
Attachment also?
Yes.
To the
it helps
body
you.
As a single form?
Yes, when there's a body, for example, human body.
Yeah.
When you recognize it as a human body, then you put certain labels, this is my loving one, the relative, friend, angry person, or something like that.
Yeah.
But if you get rid of this human body perception,
yeah,
this is only collection of parts.
Yeah.
Then can you put those labels?
Yeah.
Like my friend or something? No. Right?
No, you can't. No.
Yes. Hmm. So we are putting all those attachments and aversion with the belief there's a body existing, human body existing.
Exactly.
But this point we are, you know, trying to get rid of this perception. So it's not a body, it's a collection of parts. Right? You can go further step, these parts, still parts are there. Right? Again, there may be not a body, but parts are there. You may get attached to parts.
Sure.
Got angry with this. So, one more step you can go by, you know, using another technique, the Dhatu Manasikar. Four elements. Even we say this is head here, still there's a tendency we may get attached to head here. Right? But if you see, no, it's not here, it's collection of four elements. Patavi, Apo, Tejo, Vayu. Solidity, liquidity, motion and heat. Right? Then you are trying to get rid of this hair perception.
Yeah.
So, if you, you know, had a kind of attachment or aversion to hair, when you say, no, it is just collection of these four elements, then you can get rid of or suppress that part. So I use suppress because still this is worldly level. We can talk more about supramundane level, how to practice this. Maybe our next program, because I don't think we have enough time today.
No, we don't. Yeah.
Yes. So, all those techniques in under Kayanupassana, Satipatthana, Buddha has explained 14 different techniques,
okay,
meditation techniques to contemplate on your own body.
Sure, and I think we'll be talking about it very soon in a future program. And today I think we just threw light upon seeing the Rupa in the true form of it, at least to start practicing it in the, you know, the worldly manner or the before we come to the supramundane level. So we should start practicing now itself, because it helps immensely, for one, to remove unnecessary worries from our minds. So thank you so much, Professor Ravi Kongalage, for being with us, for you know, sharing his knowledge as well as experience, meditational experience with us. So thank you so much. And if you have any comments or if you have any questions, please write to us. And you can also contact Professor, so you can say your email address.
Email address is koggalage@yahoo.com. Also, there's a book, this for free distribution, but I do not post them.
Okay.
But anyone can collect it during our meditation sessions. Every Saturday, we have sessions. Saturday morning at Subhadra Rame Nugegude.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And my website also, you can freely download this. It is ravi.harimaga.com. ravi.harimaga.com.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for listening to us. And we'll meet the next Monday with yet another fruitful program. May the most noble triple gem bless you.